I'm dealing with some friends who are Christian but not of the Catholic faith, and they have each have a young child, and they haven't baptized them yet. And so I was looking to go to you, go directly to the source, the great blessing that we have with you and your crew and Relevant Radio, to bring support for having baptism within the first few weeks as opposed to when they reach the age of reason.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a very important thing. And it's important because of what baptism does. And that's where often it becomes difficult for non-Catholics to, really kind of connect with the Catholic Church's teaching on this issue. And that's because, for the most part, there are some exceptions, but for the most part, they don't recognize the power of the sacrament of baptism. They look at it as an ordinance. In other words, it is, Jesus said to get baptized, and St. Peter said to get baptized on the day of Pentecost, for example, in Acts chapter 2. So we do, we get baptized, they say, but we don't believe that it actually does anything. That's the disconnect. And so I believe, as a Catholic, at least in my years of trying to talk with non-Catholic folk about this, I find that if I can get them to see what baptism actually does, then it makes more sense to them why they should baptize their babies. Now, that's a whole separate issue about should baptism be for believers only, or is it extended to everybody? Just to kind of circle back to Acts chapter 2, St. Peter at the day of Pentecost, he says when he's asked, what do we do now? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He says that this is a promise to you and to your children, to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. So he does say to the adults who are listening to him, repent. Obviously, they need to repent because they're adults. But then he says that what happens at baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins, that this is something that is extended to everybody, including your children. He doesn't give an age range. So that's an important biblical reminder about, at the very beginning, when baptism was enjoined upon the people, it was extended, even there, it was extended to children. And there's no age given. Another thing to point out is that baptism replaces circumcision. And as with all types in the Old Testament, a type, as you probably know, Chris, is a foreshadowing. It's a prefigurement of something that's going to come later. And the type in the Old Testament is always partial and inferior and limited compared to the perfection of the fulfillment of the type. So Moses is inferior to Christ. Christ fulfills what Moses symbolized by leading the people out of bondage in Egypt. Jesus does that par excellence, and he does it perfectly. The manna in the desert, the lamb that was consumed by the people at the table on the day of Pentecost, or I'm sorry, on the night of the Passover. Those are examples of the Eucharist. Those are prefigurements, but they were imperfect and impartial and shadowy by comparison. The Eucharist is perfect. So in this case, we can point to the Old Testament ordinance of circumcision that in Genesis chapter 17, God commanded that the people practice with the male children, and it was replaced by baptism. So if you look at that parallel, you see that in the Old Testament, did the little boy ask for circumcision? No, nor would he have if he had known what it was all about. His parents covenanted with God on his behalf, and it was a real and durable covenant with God, but he had no say in the matter. So the parents would bring the child at 8 days of age, have him circumcised, and in the new covenant, the perfected version of that at the level of a sacrament is baptism. So it's really an a fortiori argument. If the parents could covenant with God on behalf of the child through circumcision, how much more so can parents covenant with God on behalf of the child who's being baptized? Now, just another word or two, Chris, because there's so much more that we could say. The effects of baptism are, as you probably already know, but it's good to talk about this with them, it is an eradication of the condition of original sin. It infuses grace into the soul. This is what St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, that the grace of God is poured out into our souls. So the soul then becomes animated with sanctifying grace, and now it is apt, it has a capacity to receive the other sacraments. And fundamentally, it's important to point out that it's the work of Jesus in the sacrament. He's the one in his power that causes this radical transformation, this regeneration, of the soul, as he talked about with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You know, unless a man be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he doesn't have life within him. And that's what baptism does. So my suggestion, Chris, would be to talk about infant baptism along those lines. And I at least have found it to be very helpful, and it opens doors and you can get into deeper waters.